And a very good afternoon to you. The time is 12:07. This is Midday Matters Outer Spaces right here on 89.1 FM. I'm your host, Sean Beter. Very glad to be with you on this Thursday afternoon. And of course, this is the program where we explore your outer spaces. So we do want to hear from you during the course of this hour. For the first half of the show, Laura Stein will be here and we'll have a wonderful chat as we always do. I suppose I can just introduce you right now. Laura, welcome to the studio. Coming in right at the wire there.
Hi, Sean. right on the... in the nick of time.
That's what we call good timing in the radio biz.
And I only beat you by 30 seconds.
Is that right?
Of course, the other voice you're hearing there, it's Doug Hackbarth, our regular contributor to this program. Again, we do want to hear from you today, so give us a call. It's 260-452-1185. Email middaymatters at nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. It's at middaymatters. Welcome to both of you. Thank you very much for being with us today. And of course, later in the hour, we'll open the phones and take some kind of general plant and garden questions. But Laura, you sent a few photos along that we posted on our Facebook page here. And the thing I noticed, a lot of color, and it's looking a little bit like fall,
right,
in your
sure
backyard
is,
there.
Right. Well, for anyone who's been out to the fall festivals, you know how gorgeous all those mums are, and there's some beautiful kale I'm seeing out. And really, now is the time that, now that the weather has cooled, now's the time to really change those pots out. And I don't know about any of the listeners out there, I had some annuals that were looking pretty scraggly.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
more than happy to rip those out. But you can really take a look at your planters and keep the best of what's there.
Yeah, like the vining things.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Keep the vines, keep the spikes. I had a purple fountain grass that looked really good. And I had some other annuals that I liked the color of. I thought they'd go nicely with the mums, some oranges and reds. So I clipped half of it out, kept the other half, tucked a yellow mum in, and it's really nice and easy. Put a few pumpkins around, and you are good for fall.
Yep, looks good. I see the picture on the screen there. It does look great.
And it's awfully fun to do.
Yeah. It looks beautiful, and of course, your listeners can see these photos on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/middaymatters. They're right in the front. You won't miss them. You know, as we move into this colder weather, this fall season, after a very tough summer, I would say, what are some of the basics that folks should be looking at to prepare their gardens for this next season?
Mm-hmm. Well, the fall season is really a nice time to be out in the garden. With the lower temperatures, you don't have the humidity. So there really are lots of things you can do to prepare for next year. And transplanting is always very good this time of year. Dividing iris, dividing hosta, ferns, or if there's, daylilies are a big one, usually can kind of get out of control. So you can dig those up. You want to dig around the drip line, cut them in half, and then cut the plant in half again, so you've got quarters, and then go ahead and plant those farther away from each other, or take them to another part of the garden, give them to your friends who will love you, and they can put those in their garden. That's how I've gotten lots of really nice plants in my garden, too, is from friends who have divided.
And I'd like to add the importance to this. People don't realize that when you transplant and replant perennials at this time of the year, as opposed to next spring,
mm-hmm.
you literally gain a year's worth of growth. It's like when you plant something in the fall, even though winter comes and you don't think they're growing, next spring when they come out twice as big because you planted them in the fall.
And lots of times too, what I like about planting in the fall and transplanting in the fall is when you plant in spring, whenever you plant something new, you have to keep up with the watering.
Right.
A good soaking 2 to 3 times a week, depending on the rain. But if you plant now, you don't have to water as much as you would through the hot summer. So you can kind of buy yourself some time, mm-hmm. and then stop watering once it gets really cold or we get a good hard freeze. And then with any luck, you get the benefit of the rains for spring. So then you're not, you just don't have all the time it takes to do the watering that you would through the summer. So that's kind of, it's kind of nice on the gardener as well.
Right.
We're talking during this part of the program about the fall season, what you need to do to get ready. And if you have any tips for us, or perhaps just some general questions or comments about the season, give us a call. The number, it's 260-452-1185. Of course, you can always call us toll-free at 1-800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall where you can also see those photos, or send us a tweet. It's at Midday Matters. And before the show got going here, Doug, you and I were talking about, I believe it was garden mums.
Yeah, garden mums. Yeah, they're happy this year. You know, it was a hot summer, as hot as they get. But for some reason this year, when fall came, it came. And mm-hmm. they love
right.
it. They love
right.
this kind of weather. It's not just remaining extremely hot outside, which just delays the flowering. This year, mums are blooming on time, and I know people who kept them over from last year. I've seen them in people's yards, and of course, they're just giant because they don't do the dividing that they should do, but still, the mums are performing well rather than stretching because of these cool nights. I mean, it is truly fall weather. And that's what a mum plant likes.
And in fact, just looking at the weather forecast up until about Tuesday here, you know, seeing lows in the mid 40s, really highs during the day, you know, upper 60s, right around mm-hmm. 70
yeah.
degrees.
Perfect.
Perfect for golf weather, which I know you're excited about.
Golf and mums, they go hand in hand.
Golf yeah. and mums.
interesting
combination.
I was telling Sean I have a golf game next Thursday, and I'm not looking forward to it. I used to golf a lot, but I don't anymore. This is kind of one I have to go to.
And, well, you're going to have
to
practice.
And it happens to be on Thursday. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, right.
Laura, I mean, you've illustrated pretty well how to add some, you know, additional color during this season, even though we think of this as kind of a season of color with, you know, the trees
right.
changing,
right.
of course. Do you have any extra tips on how people might, you know, a beginning gardener like me, let's say, could add some quick color to the backyard?
Absolutely. Well, I want to say, just as a quick note on the back of the mum conversation, mm-hmm. is that, you know, sometimes many times in retail settings, we see mums coming out very, very early, especially in, I think we see them at grocery stores and things, coming out really in late July.
Right.
And when it's that hot, the mums tend to, they flower and then they're spent and they're done. So now really is the time to buy them. And when you go to buy them, if you buy the blooms and the buds kind of tight, and then they will open much more slowly since it's so cool out, and you'll get a much longer show of color if you're buying them this year. But in the garden, to add color, you know, certainly all the sedums are blooming now and look wonderful. And then the natural color that we see out in the fields and prairies and even on the edge of the woodlands are the goldenrod, the color of goldenrod. You see those out a lot at the county parks, and the asters. And I'm seeing both of those in dwarf varieties at the nurseries, and especially the asters. There's some very pretty purplish blue color, and that's just great color to have in the garden right now. And that color can be tough to find mm-hmm. in perennials all year long. So with the sedums and the mums and then those two, and you know, grasses are at their height right now, and there's some really nice native grasses, especially one that is especially easy to work with, and it stays 2 to 3 feet tall, is called prairie drop seed. Ooh. I'm seeing a lot more in retail nurseries. And I'll have to give a plug to Ben Hess out at Heartland Restoration, because he told me this fact. So this is a native grass. It's one of the grasses that comes off the prairies. And the seed heads on that have the highest fat content for the birds, and the birds just love it. So if you have a bird feeder and you like to feed the birds in the summer, this is one that you can grow doesn't get really big. It's a really nice fine texture, and it's, you can really give something that's very useful. That high fat content in the seeds is very useful for birds in the winter.
Well, and I'll always love something that's a bit easier as well.
Exactly. Easy is the way to go, because, you know, in the last 10 or 15 years, probably many of your listeners and myself included have planted some of the maiden grass and the pampas grass.
Sure.
That just got so enormous, and over time can get 6-7 feet wide, and you have to practically take a chainsaw to cut them down in winter.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's nice the rest of the year not to have to do anything to it, but boy, when that March comes along and you've got to figure out how to get that grass cut down.
You know, and if it's not near a building, I've heard of people, they just light them on fire. Have you heard this?
I have, and
it
really,
ground?
But doesn't that make sense? Because that's what we do to rejuvenate prairies, right?
Yeah.
But those grasses are kind of tough to take care of. And, you know, the prairie drop seed is, and the little blue stem, those are lovely, easy grasses to just take some quick shears to, cut them back in spring, and you're set for another year.
This is what's important for people to notice, is that things that we like don't always look good all year long. The grasses look their best.
They look great
in
right
late
now.
Summer and fall. This is when the grasses look good. And, you know, the people that are out trying to buy them now, okay, you can buy them now. They're not going to look that great until next fall. You know, you got to plan ahead. You should have planned ahead in April and May and planted them so that they would look good now. But see, they wait until it looks good, then they try to duplicate it. It'll take them a whole year to duplicate.
Right. It is kind of the way, it's the way we learn about new plants, though, or many people learn about new plants, is by seeing them blooming in the nurseries when we go. So so that is a good way to see, you know, if you like a particular plant or not.
Now, another grass that's blooming with blue flowers is what they call monkey grass. You familiar with monkey grass?
I'm not sure I am.
I can't give you the botanical name.
I'm not, but
okay.
I love the name.
Yeah. Well, it's a short-growing grass, and it has blue flowers on it, spiky flowers.
Wow.
And
I don't know it by that name. I don't know if I would know it.
Oh, that's what the label
says. Name or not.
I'm sorry, I didn't.
No, it's okay.
I didn't
probably
read the tough name.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Well, how about we take a quick break here? We'll look it up and we'll come back with a little bit more. And
what would we do without Google?
Yeah,
that's
right. That's a good idea.
We're talking during this part of the show about the fall season. This is the first show in autumn, and we want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment for Laura Stein or Doug Hackbarth, let us know and give us a call. The number is 260-452-1185. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall, where you can also see some of Laura's photos, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I'm Julia Mika, and what's on stage for this week's Meet the Music? Operatic gems from Joe Butel, accompanied by Bob Nance, guitar and vocal loop jamming with Matt Capps, and a walk through the progressive instrumental rockitude of Mosier Woods. That's Thursday night from 7 to 9 here at 89.1 FM, or listen online at nipr.fm, a two-hour serving of homegrown delights here on Meet the Music.
Do you ever feel like you're drowning in a sea of hyperbole? Are you looking for safe harbor from the daily media deluge? At All Things Considered, we keep our cool as those noisy waters rise and fall around us. And when all the shouting subsides, we are always here, your trusted source for unbiased news. All Things Considered, from NPR News, more sound, less fury.
All Things Considered airs weekday afternoons at 4 on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Reinbold & Anderson, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Take the guesswork out of your retirement plan. More information at Reinbold & Anderson on NIPR's homepage at www.nipr.fm. Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Travel Leaders, proud supporter of public broadcasting, featuring Alaskan cruises and European holidays. Travel Leaders, making vacations monumental. Online at travelbetterindiana.com.
Twelve twenty-two here at WBOY. You're tuned to Midday Matters Outer Spaces here on 89.1 FM. Doug Hackbarth is here, and because it's the last Friday or last Thursday of the month, I'm trying to get to the weekend early here, evidently.
Sounds good to me.
It's the last Thursday of the month, and that means Laura Stein is here as well from Laura Stein Gardens. We're talking during this part of the show about the fall season. Of course, this is the first Midday Matters Outer Spaces show after the turn of the season. And we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 260-452-1185. Email middaymatters at nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. And of course, if you visit our Facebook page, Laura Stein has posted some wonderful photos, a lot of color for this this autumn season. Let's open the phones right now. Looks like we have Karen on the line. Karen, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Yes. I have a question. In the last couple of years, for my trees and shrubs, I've put a compound that you dilute with water. It's the brand Bayer, and I can't remember if it fertilizes, but it's a systemic compound that the trees and shrubs absorb it, and then it keeps pests from attacking them. And it seems to have done a great job, but I wanted to put it on this fall, but I thought with the drought, wondered if you might have any opinions on whether that would be a bad idea after the hot season.
Well, Bayer is just a name brand, just like Ortho. And as you can imagine, Ortho packages everything known to mankind. And Bayer is into that too. So it could be a fertilizer, or it could be an insecticide. And then I heard you say something about it repels animals, or it repels something. So
It repels insects.
Yeah.
It's like a systemic insecticide.
Yeah, so it's probably, like Laura said, a systemic insecticide. And if you're having a problem, you certainly could apply it, although at the end of the season, it's not going to work as well as it would during active growing season. Right now, the plant is shutting down, and most of the insects that would be on your plant will either die off during the winter freezes, or you might want to use, rather than that, and Bayer probably packages this, but you might want to use in a few weeks a dormant oil type spray or a summer oil, which will smother insects, actually do a more effective job than even the systemics, I think.
Are you seeing insects on the plant? Does it have a insect problem that you're seeing?
Well, no. A couple of years ago, I had a lot of it, like soft flies and spider mites, and so I've been using it. This would be my third year,
okay. And
I just was getting ready to use it again because the summer was so hot, I didn't want to use anything, and it's just done a great job. Things are now, the insects are not attacking them, so I wanted to keep the program going, but so it sounds like possibly I should just wait for spring and do it then.
I think I'm with Doug on that. I think it would be more useful, more effective to wait until spring. And you might even wait till late spring and wait and see if you start to see a problem. And the dormant oil would be good if you have scale or another type of insect like that. But you would see that on the stem of the plant.
Yeah, I'm not seeing any of that.
So, it's just a good idea in the garden not to add more chemicals than you need to. And it sounds like it would be more effective for you late fall or late spring or early summer. I'd probably wait until then and see if you've got a problem again.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
All right.
And then a lot of times when you're applying something like a systemic, if you're not seeing a problem but you feel like you want to apply something, well, once a month is more than enough. But like Laura said, a lot of the recommendations on the label say if you see a problem, then apply this product. They don't say just do it for the fun of it. And so that's kind of what she's saying. You don't have to do it until you see a problem. But you want to be always on alert, because as soon as you see it, you want to get in there and get it stopped before it gets worse.
And it is valuable to keep in mind, too, that that not all the insects that we see are bad insects. Some of them are very beneficial. So we wanna if you keep the beneficial insects in your garden, and I know sometimes it can be hard to tell what's beneficial. If you keep those in the garden, though, it really keeps the garden in balance. And so we're always going for a balanced habitat in the garden, because those beneficial insects will come in and take care of any problem insects, and it keeps the whole thing in balance, and then ultimately you can use less chemicals.
Which brings up, keep the plants healthy. A healthy
plant doesn't
draw insects. Anything that's broken, snapped, you want to make a clean cut. That, because those broken and snapped and damaged leaves, if a leaf gets smashed, that is a magnet for insects. So keep the plant clean, neat, and healthy, and insects generally aren't a big problem.
Right. And you can always, we have a great resource in the Allen County Extension Office, which is just up at IPFW. And the master gardeners there, Ricky Kemry, who heads that organization, there's an amazing wealth of knowledge there. And, you know, just put the insect in a bag and take it up, and they can tell you what it is. or you can leave it there and find out. But they really are. I've used them many times in my career to determine if an insect is beneficial or if I need to treat it, if it's out of control. So so use that as a resource.
Don't we have a lot of answers? I've got one more thing to say.
Go for it, Doug. Go for it.
I learned a long, long time ago, if you want to keep insects off your plants, don't have weeds, because people ignore the weeds. They're looking at their tomato. Well, my tomato looks healthy, but there's bugs on it. What about the weeds next to it? That's where you don't look, and those things can sometimes become an absolute hotel of weeds, and unless you're using a weed killer to get rid of it or pulling the weeds, pull the weeds. But if you keep the weeds away, that really helps your insect problem. And we found that to be true in the greenhouse. The secret to no insects on geraniums and poinsettias and everything else we grow isn't the chemicals that we use. It's making sure there are no weeds in the greenhouse.
All right.
We're moving poinsettias today. and a week or two ago, I made sure there were no weeds in the area where we're moving the poinsettias to.
That's an interesting observation.
Karen, thanks very much for your call. We appreciate it. And I hope you had a lot of notebook pages handy for,
sure.
For those
Karen
answers.
Bargained for all that.
I was about ready to say, we only have a half hour left in the show, guys. Karen, thank you very much for your call. We do appreciate it. Of course, we want to hear from more of our listeners. Do give us a call if you have a plant or garden question. We'll do our best to get you an answer here. The number is 260-452-1185. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. And of course, if you check out our Facebook page, Laura Stein has some beautiful photos up there. We just added them a few minutes ago. Let's get on down the phone line here, and it looks like we've got Shantae on the line. Good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Yes, thank you.
Hi.
I'm calling about garlic. I would like to plant some garlic. I was told you can do it either spring or fall, but I have done it in the fall for 2 years, but I haven't really gotten very big bulbs. I don't really know for sure what I'm doing wrong. I also have, I've collected every year the seeds off of the top of the garlic head. I don't know if I can replant those. I'm assuming it'll take a few years, but can you help me on garlic?
Laura, is garlic the one that they used to say plant on the longest day of the year, harvest on the shortest day of the year?
Oh.
Was that garlic?
You know, I haven't heard that saying, but I have to say I'm no expert in planting garlic.
I know that you can't always find garlic in your local nurseries and garden centers, but I don't think that it's a problem to plant from the garlic you buy at the grocery store.
That's what I typically do.
You can peel those cloves off and plant those, and it works great. But under that idea of planting on the longest day and harvesting on the shortest day, just plant it sometime in June. Would
it
be
sounds
a,
so farmer's almanac.
Yeah,
I love
it does,
it.
Doesn't it? And the shortest day, you might have to shovel snow, and isn't that the 22nd of December? I mean, it's just a rule of thumb. You can go out there earlier and harvest it. But that was the rule of thumb that I remembered. If it was for garlic, I thought that's what it was for.
Okay. Right.
So I hope that helped you out.
Yes, thank you.
But it's, yeah.
Jante, thanks very much for your call. We appreciate it. We're going to go to one more caller before we take a break here. Let's see who we've got on the line. It's Amy. Amy, welcome to Midday Matters.
Good morning. With the devastation we experienced from the windstorm, could you recommend a fast-growing and a slow-growing tree that would have done better and also the best time of year to plant it?
That would have withheld the wind?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, there just comes a point when the wind is so strong, nothing works.
I mean,
this neighbor of mine had pine trees that were, I'll bet, 30 feet tall. And that particular derecho wind, if that's what it was called, is that the right word, derecho wind? Mm-hmm. In other words, it wasn't a tornado. It was a straight line wind. Yeah,
called it a land hurricane, I think.
Is
was
that
the,
what you heard? Yeah. Well, I think the proper term is derecho. Mm-hmm. And the 91 mile an hour straight line wind simply means, I've heard it described as a bulldozer coming across the sky, a bulldozer. Whatever it hit, it knocked it over.
Right.
And my neighbor, as I started to say, across the street had, I think, five pine trees. And it knocked the tops off of every one of them. Chopped them off like Paul
That's
Bunyan walking across the land with an axe. Just sliced the top off of every pine tree. Well, all but one. And there was his tops just laying on the ground in his yard. Mm. It was a crazy, crazy storm. And I don't know if we've had one before, maybe we had one, didn't know what it was before.
Right. So I think Doug's point is there are some storms that are going to take anything in its path, but there are trees such as oaks that are slower growing. And now oaks are best to plant in spring. But they are one of the best trees to plant. And in ecologically speaking, they are the number one tree for wildlife, and even even butterfly and moth species, which you wouldn't necessarily think of. I think of squirrels all the time eating oaks and acorn leaves or acorn nuts, but moths and butterflies, even there's several hundred species that can use an oak tree. So oaks are great and slow growing, and of course very sturdy, strong trees.
Yeah, she has fast growing and sturdy.
Know,
so can you come
and,
up with that?
Well, yeah. You know, in general, that's it, right? So yeah. if that's the problem, if it's very fast growing, they tend to have weaker branches.
Yeah.
Now, there is a tree that is very fast growing, the river birch. It does grow really quite fast. And I would say, I love this tree, and it's probably the first one I planted on my property when I moved into my house. But I made the mistake of planting it right by a walkway, and it does lose its branches. Just the little ones tend to fall pretty much year round. So if this is going to be a space that's away from the house, it really is a lovely tree, and the bark peels and create and you get it's kind of a cinnamon colored. Tree trunk in the winter. It's really quite pretty. So that would be a good fast growing.
I love river birch.
I do too.
Yeah. Very nice plant.
All right. Amy,
does that help?
I think Amy is took her answer off the air.
Okay.
That's all right. But we appreciate the call, Amy.
Do the river birches require more moisture? So it might be something to.
You know, they're awfully adaptable.
They're adaptable.
Yeah, it's surprising. Now, you can grow them in a wet area. If you've got an area that's, you know, just beyond a downspout or it's a wetter area in your yard, they grow well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, next to a rain garden, if you want to want to create a rain garden. They do grow well, but they're very adaptable to dry. Uh-huh.
Well, good. Sounds like a good tree.
We're going to take a quick break here from the news, but we do want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment or perhaps a tip on how you handle your outer spaces in this fall season, we want to hear from you today. Share it with our listeners. The number 260-452-1185. You can always call us toll free, of course. That's 1-800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. When we come back, we've got a tip from Gardener Pat. Stay with us. This is Midday Matters.
The next fresh air, how electricity functions in our bodies. We talk with physiologist Frances Ashcroft, author of the new book, The Spark of Life. Her groundbreaking research in 1984 involving electricity in the body led to a major new treatment for neonatal diabetes. Join us.
Fresh air weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Northeast Indiana Public Radio. I'm Sarah D'Elia with WBOY News. The State Lottery Commission's decision whether to hire a private company to manage the lottery will wait another week. As Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports, a decision had been expected at the commission's meeting Wednesday.
The Lottery Commission began exploring the possibility of hiring a private company to manage the lottery in May. Last month, two firms, Scientific Games International and GTEC, submitted proposals. The commission chose to delay a vote on the proposals until next week as it learns more about the business plan submitted by the two companies. Lottery Commission Executive Director Carl Browning gave commissioners a detailed presentation on the process up to now, and he stresses that the commission can choose not to hire either company.
We do not have to do a bad deal. We have to do a good deal, and a good deal can be defined as doing it ourselves.
Browning says it's difficult for Indiana to improve its lottery performance without using an outside company.
The kinds of things that one has to do require a continuity of management. In any state government agency, this one is not excluded. You can't provide that. We're guaranteed to turn over with an administration change.
Browning says an independent firm estimates the lottery could improve its income by 40% to 60%. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
University of Notre Dame employees have signed onto a statement urging the Roman Catholic school to add sexual orientation to its non-discrimination clause. WBOY's Sean Beter has more.
A full-page ad published Tuesday in the campus newspaper that carries the names of 366 faculty and staff members urges Notre Dame to, quote, make the protection, recognition, and equal treatment, unquote, of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people part of school policy. Organizer sociology professor Richard Williams says that about a dozen more employees have signed the statement since it was published. Williams joined the Notre Dame faculty in 1986. He says attitudes have changed on campus just as they have in American society. The South Bend Common Council earlier this year voted to add sexual orientation to the city's non-discrimination protection policy. For WBOY News, I'm Sean Beter.
A federal judge has sentenced a southwestern Indiana man to 5 years in prison after he pled guilty to fraud and income tax evasion charges for embezzling money from his employer. U.S. District Judge Richard Young also ordered 54-year-old Richard E. Brown of Mount Vernon to pay a fine of $30,000 and nearly $190,000 in restitution, and to serve 3 years supervised released after his prison term. Prosecutors say Brown used his position as the office manager of Walker Investments in Evansville to pay his personal expenses with a company credit card and company checks to pay expenses of his church, Oak Hill Christian Center in Evansville, where Brown was the bookkeeper. A Purdue Extension expert says Indiana's pumpkin crop has fared mostly well despite the drought that has gripped the Midwest, and consumers should have plenty of healthy pumpkins to choose from this fall. Purdue Extension plant expert Dan Engel says pumpkins germinated properly despite fears they would not, and that the dryness protected them from many of the diseases that hurt them in wetter years. Engel says a healthy pumpkin stem should be as full and green as possible rather than thin and brown. A green stem indicates a fresher pumpkin that likely was grown nearby. The best coloring of the pumpkin itself, however, depends on individual preferences. And now back to your host for Outer Space's Midday Matters, Sean Beter.
Twenty minutes before the top of the hour, 1 o'clock, it's Midday Matters Outer Spaces right here on 89.1 FM. I'm Sean Beter. Very happy to be with you on this Thursday afternoon, and joining me in studio, it's Doug Hackbarth, one of the usual suspects, and because it's the last Friday of September, Laura Stein from Laura Stein Gardens is here as well. We've been talking about the fall season since this is the first Midday Matters Outer Spaces after the turn of the season. We want to hear from you. Do you have any tips on how you take care of your outer spaces once the weather gets a little bit colder? Give us a call, 260-452-1185. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet. We are at Midday Matters. Of course, if you have a general plant and garden question or perhaps another tip for us, you can share that as well. We did get a comment on Facebook from Gardener Pat. Pat says, ornamental shrubs that bloom or keep their flowers into the fall are great too. For example, can you help me out there?
Caryopteris.
All right, thank you. And also hydrangeas. Pat also notes Bayer tree and shrub insect control. Merit is the product the caller was thinking of earlier. I use it in the spring on ash for EAB and on roses for Japanese beetles.
Merit.
Emerald ash borer, right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Thanks very much for getting in touch here, Pat. And of course, if you all would like to check out our Facebook page, you can comment there and check out Laura Stein's photos as well. Let's take an email question now. We've got a question from Nancy. Are there any roses that are naturally resistant to black spot and fungal diseases? I'm seeing roses in bloom now many places. Are they knockout roses?
They're definitely knockouts. Yeah, and I saw three of them today when I went to lunch. It's just absolutely gorgeous. This is a rose that's taking the world by storm, knockout roses.
And it is taking the world over because pretty soon we're not going to plant anything else.
No, it looks like why shouldn't it? It's the greatest rose that there ever was.
Well, a little diversity is a good thing, I think. Well, but yes, know, I mean, how can you beat it for if you love the bloom?
Yeah, if you
they
want
just bloom and bloom.
Large, straight-stemmed roses, then you'll have to grow something else. But if you want roses that look good all the time, and you can just whack them back in the spring to almost any size. They say down to 6 inches. That's just a bit much to me. 6 inches sounds crazy. I would think no lower than a foot. But they get large.
They do get large.
And if you like them large, don't just leave them alone, because no matter how large they are, they will get larger. So you do want to cut them back to a degree, I would think, at least a third of the way back. Half would be better. Mm-hmm.
We all used to believe the tags that said 3 feet, and now we know better.
Oh, yeah. These things are unbelievable. And they're disease resistant, black spot resistant. The insects basically leave them alone. Mm-hmm. And then when they came out with them at first, they were single petaled. Now they have double petaled knockouts, but not in every color. Mm-hmm. They came out with double reds. Then they came out with double pinks. And that's it. They have yellow knockouts. They're not doubled yet.
That's a really pretty color, though. It's almost like a butter yellow. It's really nice and soft.
I'm waiting on the day when they come out with the doubled one.
Oh, they probably will.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're working on it.
Yeah.
I do. I think we should probably create a Midday Matters Outer Spaces t-shirt that just says whack 'em back in the spring.
Whack 'em back in the spring.
We'll talk to Dave, see if we can make that a pledge drive. There's a second question here from Nancy. I'm noticing a shrub that gets golden highlights in its upper foliage at this time of year, which is very attractive. What is it?
What is it?
What is it?
Wow.
Golden highlights. upper foliage.
And is there a type of burning bush that turns golden rather than This is the thing.
Not
is
that
it
I
a,
know of.
Is it a leafy plant or is it an evergreen?
Could it be a privet that's
growing? Yeah, it could be a privet, sure.
Coming out more gold. I mean, if it's a golden privet, it could just be, she could just be seeing new growth.
Yep, and
perhaps.
There's golden globe junipers, and there's things that actually this cool weather brings the color out in a lot of these types of plants. Well,
Maybe, Nancy, if you can send us another message with a little any more detail.
Just a description of the leaf would help.
Yeah, absolutely. Then, but we'll think on it in the meantime. Thanks very much for your questions.
Yes, thanks, Nancy.
And if other listeners would like to contact us that way, it's middaymatters@nipr.fm. Or if you'd like to go to the phones, the number 260-452-1185. Let's open the phones now and go to Greg. Greg, welcome to Midday Matters.
Hi there.
Hi, Greg.
Hey, I just planted a new maple, and I've got it staked and supported against the wind. How long should I leave that supported?
Oh, you know, why not leave it there till spring?
Yeah, the rule of thumb is not more than 18 months. So you certainly can leave it there for a year. If you leave it much more than 18 months, then you're not letting the roots do their job. The roots, you know, the job of the roots is to really anchor that plant and hold it in wind. So you 18 months is, as far as I know, the rule of thumb.
So a little aggravation of wind helps to make the roots stronger.
Uh-huh, it does. It helps them anchor the plant. So you certainly could leave it in a year.
And the main reason I said leave it there until next year is because we're going to get into some really windy weather in the fall. Mm-hmm. We get into windy weather in the spring. Of course, I don't think the wind, other than that derecho, June 29th, I don't think the wind ever blew this year.
Should the supports be real fairly tight, or should they have a little bit of slack?
No, and you know, the best thing to wrap that actually touches the bark of the tree that I've ever seen done is pieces of garden hose where they run a wire through the garden hose, and the garden hose is what actually touches the bark.
So it doesn't cut into the bark, you don't have to have it really tight. No, just it can be a little loose. So, you know, if the wind pulls really hard, then the line tightens up. But no, it doesn't need to be very tight.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Greg, thanks very much for the call. Have a very good day. We're going to take a break here in just a moment, but it looks like we've got one more caller on the line. We have Jane. Jane, good afternoon. Welcome to Midday Matters.
Hi.
Hi, Jane.
Hey, I have a question. I have a, I don't know if it's a flowering crab or what it is, in my front yard. It was beautiful in the spring before the heat came. And I watered it thoroughly during the heat time, but it's now dropped most of its leaves. There's just a few leaves left, and it's earlier than it normally drops those leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if, one other thing that was strange about it, at one point it rebloomed in a couple spots on the plant when it was really hot. And it has little orange-red berries all over it that comes every year. And those are already out. Do you think this thing's going to come back next spring? It was when it bloomed in the spring, it was gorgeous. It had pink blooms just all over it.
Could this be a redbud? It sounds like a redbud to
me. I'm thinking that is what it is.
Yeah, a redbud.
Fruit.
No, it's not a redbud. It's not heart-shaped.
It could be a hawthorn. It could be,
it's
I think, a hawthorn or a crab apple are probably the two things.
I think it's probably a crab.
Well, it's kind of normal for a crab to dry up and drop its foliage earlier than other plants.
Did you say if it's newly planted or has it been in for?
Been there for years.
Okay, then it's probably one of the older varieties of crab apples, and those tend to get more. The leaves tend to get more mildew and fungus and drop sooner than the newer varieties. The newer introductions tend to have their leaves are a little bit better with that. They're a little more resistant.
The bark is kind of crusty all over it too.
Yeah, that sounds just like a crab. So I think, you know what? I think you're fine. I would say, you know, between now and winter, go ahead and just let a hose kind of trickle at the base of it for for, you know, 30 minutes, 40 minutes while you're in doing dishes or laundry or something, and try to get the area, give it a good soaking so that the roots have some access to water over the winter in the soil. But I wouldn't worry too much about it. It sounds like it's just an old-fashioned mm-hmm. crab apple, and they're so hardy. I think it'll be just fine.
It will
How
be fine.
How often should I water it?
Well, that was what
I
was
probably just
say.
Do it a cup, yeah. like two times between now and winter.
Right.
Just just give it a good soaking.
Good thorough soaking, but not often, right?
Oh, okay. No, because no. It sounds like it's established. I'm just thinking from, you know, we've had, because of the drought this winter, you could give it a good soaking once or twice and just leave it. It sounds like it's established, and that may help it.
Okay. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thanks very much for your call, Jane. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll finish up the program when we come back. And if you'd like to join the conversation, just a few more minutes left to do that. Call us with your question or comment. It's 260-452-1185. Or you can call us toll-free, 1-800-471-9264. We'll continue Midday Matters when we come back. Stay with us.
In China, a political murder mystery winds down. The Communist Party leader-to-be vanishes for a couple of weeks, and the face-off with Japan over uninhabited islands in the East China Sea. I'm Neil Conan, China in Transition. Rob Gifford will join us. Plus, the parent trigger. What really happened when parents mobilized to take over a failing school? Join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Tune in weekdays at 2 here on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
With the BBC's NewsHour, get an in-depth take on what's been happening in the world.
At least 5 people are dead and dozens more missing.
Because the world is always changing.
What's been the reaction then?
There is an overwhelming sense of anger.
And the BBC understands what those changes mean for you.
Bills and wages still have to be paid. Some producers couldn't manage.
The life of the world in an hour. NewsHour from the BBC.
Weekday mornings at 9, here on WBOI.
On the next Fresh Air, how electricity functions in our bodies. We talk with physiologist Frances Ashcroft, author of the new book, The Spark of Life. Her groundbreaking research in 1984 involving electricity in the body led to a major new treatment for neonatal diabetes. Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
Six minutes before 1 o'clock, it's Midday Matters Outer Spaces on 89.1 FM. I'm Sean Beter, along with Doug Hackbarth and Laura Stein. We have several callers on the line, so we're going to have a bit of a speed round. 3 callers to be exact. We'll try to get to everybody. Let's open the phones and get to Angie on line 1. Angie, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
I'll take my answer off the air. How do I feed my trees? Is there a way to give them nourishment?
Well,
are they newly planted?
No, established.
They're established. Unless you're having a problem, you typically don't need to feed them. Unless there's a problem or they're under stress. Depending on the tree, but typically you wouldn't need to fertilize them just as a routine.
Now, if you did want to, though. You could use a granulated fertilizer, which is a slow release every time it rains. You just toss it out there around the drip line of the trees. That would slowly feed them and your grass, probably.
What do you think, once in the spring?
Oh, yeah, You wouldn't need to do it more than a couple times spring, early summer, you're done. And then, of course, they do have those injectors that you push down in the ground and they shoot feed down into the root systems. Usually...
Yeah, that's you need to talk to an arborist for that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, you usually need a professional to do that, but I don't know. Usually that's done, like you said, if there's a problem of some sort, they'll come out and maybe shoot down some insecticide that's systemic. It's easier than trying to reach the top of a 30, 40-foot tree and spray it. So anyway, but the granule is a simple method, and you could do it Say you had some granulated fertilizer left over for your garden this year. Save it till next spring and then throw it around the trees.
All right.
Next spring. Okay.
All right. Angie, thanks thanks very much for your call, and good luck at getting the trees fed here. Let's move down the phone bank and go to Kathy on line two. Kathy, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hello. I have a question about mums. Those mums that are in the ground now, blooming, can I dig them out at the end of the fall and put them in pots and put them somewhere in around the outskirts of my house?
They would be happier if left in the ground through the entire winter.
Well,
and then in the spring, dig them out and pot them up because they're not going to bloom again until the following fall. But it's tough to keep a perennial in a pot through the winter. If you decide that that's what you want to do and have to do, then pot them up and stick them into an unheated storage shed or an unheated garage, someplace where they get a little winter protection and make sure that they don't just dry up.
Okay, well, if I leave them in the ground, but I want to take them out in the spring to plant some annuals.
Sure.
Can I take them out in the spring and put them in pots? And
yes.
Okay.
That would be the better time.
And when you cut them back, I know you stop on the 4th of July. How low do you cut them?
Well, I would say cut a third of the plant off. Whatever
okay.
height it is, cut a third of the plant off.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Okie doke.
Hey, Kathy, have a very good day. Thanks for calling us here at Midday Matters. You guys are doing great.
Hey.
Lightning round.
Just about 2 minutes left in the program. Looks like we should have time for Richard. Richard, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hi.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, Richard.
Yes, excuse me. I have some mums that I purchased. I planted them about a month and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
They look fine. Now they're starting to die. Some of the other mums that I have are doing well. Just want to kind of get an idea of what's taking place. They're in good soil and that type of thing.
Well, this falls back into the thing that Laura said earlier in the show. If you buy them too early in full bloom or even in good color, they won't last the entire season long. And she's recommending even people who buy now buy some that are not very far along, and they'll last probably till Thanksgiving. Go ahead, Laura.
Well, is Richard, are you talking about the plants dying back or the blooms are dying back?
The blooms are dying back. And when I purchased them, they were, some of them had bloomed, some of them didn't. And then they bloomed, and then now the blooms are changing color.
Sure.
And now the mums that I have in the ground that are from years past, they're beautiful.
Okay. So it doesn't sound like you're doing anything wrong.
Okay.
I would say if you're wanting to overwinter those, certainly use a root stimulating fertilizer, because the rush is on to get those mums to root out so that they can winter over.
Yeah, especially the new ones. And then if you want to cut them back, it's best to wait until closer to Thanksgiving. Just cut the dead blossoms off because they're ugly.
Sure.
All right. But leave the rest of the plant go until spring.
Okay.
All right.
All right. I thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Richard, thanks very much for the call. And congratulations. Y'all made it through the speed round.
Did we win?
With time to spare. Thank you very much to Angie, Kathy, and Richard for calling in at the end there. Thanks to all of our callers and correspondents today. Thanks to you for listening. And Laura and Doug, thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
I'm Sean Beter, and this is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios at 89.1 HD Channel 1. This is WBOI Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester, a service of Manchester University. Fresh Air is coming up next. Have a great day. From